Well, hello there. Welcome to this training on how to find higher paying clients in more lucrative work. Now, before we get started, I want to make sure you understand that this is not meant to be a deep dive into every aspect of landing higher paying clients. Instead, we're going to focus here today on discussing the ingredients that go into making that happen. I'm going to focus on the key fundamentals. But what I will ask of you is to please don't write this training off just because it's not super tactical, because frankly, without these fundamentals that we're going to discuss here, the tactics you employ won't be very effective. By far, the biggest problem freelancers face year after year is landing clients consistently. I've been doing this for a long, long time. When I ask coaching clients, when I ask people in my tribe, you know, what are they challenged with, or when they just let me know what they're facing, this is the issue that comes up on top. I think there's several reasons for this. One is that we're not taught how to market and sell. Most of us don't come from that kind of background. The only time we really have to sell ourselves is, you know, for when we're going after a job and a job interview. And let's face it, a lot of people aren't very good at that. And just because we build the business, we hang our shingle, doesn't mean that clients are going to come to us. That's a common misconception. So there's this belief, especially among creative types, that a prospect should be able to see the quality of my work. And that should be good enough. And, you know, the people should just come beating a path to my door if I'm good at what I do. Frankly, you have to have a smart marketing strategy in place. I mean, there's just no substitute for that. And you have to execute that marketing strategy consistently. But after landing clients consistently, after you learn that skill and learn what you need to do, the next biggest problem has always been landing better quality and better paying clients and projects. And it's a huge issue when you're a solo professional, because as an independent professional, you have limited capacity. I like to think of it as seats on a bus. You know, you have this bus and you only have like 5 or 6 seats for passengers, which means that, you know, you can only fit so many people on the bus. Each of those represents a client. So if too many of your seats are taken up with low paying clients, your ability to make a good living is drastically limited. Now, the good news is that there are plenty of great paying clients and opportunities out there. Okay. You should be assured of this, and you should know that it doesn't matter what the economy is doing. This still holds true. It doesn't matter where the market is right now or how many writers or marketing consultants have entered the market. There are still and will always be plenty of great paying clients out there. But here's the thing. Finding and landing a steady stream of high paying work falls into the category of a complex problem. By complex, I mean that this is not a simple formula you can apply blindly and get an excellent result every time. We're not making bread. We're not cooking up a pot of chili. We're not building a coffee table. We're not planting a vegetable garden. All those are examples of simple problems. And by simple, I mean that there are only so many ingredients, there are only so many steps and so many possible combinations you can apply to get the result. Complex problems, on the other hand, are much more involved. They have many more variables, way more people involved in the process, and there are thousands of potential solutions and outcomes. So that's the bad news. The bad news is, you know, I wish I could give you a simple formula. Oh, you need higher paying work. Here's what you do. Do these 3 things, and it's guaranteed to happen. It doesn't work that way. This is a true classic complex problem. So there's no formula or recipe for it. There's no such thing. But the good news is that finding and landing high paying work is a predictable thing. And you can drastically increase your chances of getting that desired outcome by understanding and practicing a few important fundamentals. And that's what we're going to discuss here today. Fundamentals that, if followed, will arm you with what you need to do or what you need to have to get the results you want. And that's important because when dealing with complex problems, if you understand and know how to apply the proven fundamentals, you'll be able to take action and you'll be able to pivot as a situation evolves. And it always does. That's the nature of a complex problem. The situation is always fluid. And I don't know about you, but I would rather have the right tools be able to pivot and adapt to the situation than not have those tools and just have some formulas that are very rigid. So let's talk about the six fundamentals to higher paying work. And this is what we're going to be discussing in the lessons in this training. The first is reframing your value. Okay. It's about just kind of looking at it from a different point of view and just adopting a different perspective about the value you bring to the table. Number two, going after hungrier markets, going after markets that are willing to pay more for what you do because they see a higher value in the services you offer. Number three is pursuing higher stakes project. We'll get into what that means and what that's about. Number four is getting away from unit pricing, the kind of pricing that will just make it nearly impossible for you to continually raise your fees. So there'll always be competitive pressure when you're working from purely unit pricing. Number five, developing and upholding a set of standards that guide your decisions, that help you make pricing decisions and client decisions. Number six is raising your fees progressively, not a one-time thing, not, okay, do this. And, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years, you could raise them again. No, on a very regular basis, following a very specific set of guidelines. Now, we're not going to take a deep dive into each of these. I'll be honest, each of these could be a 2-day workshop. So we're talking about, you know, 12 full days of training and workshopping. I find that the most helpful thing in these situations is to give you the basic knowledge on each of these so you can get to work much more quickly. And again, then the tactics are, I will get into some tactics, but the deeper, more detailed tactics will be available in other training programs that I have. So let's go ahead and get started here with number one, and each of the other lessons we'll tackle the other fundamentals individually. So reframing your value, this whole process, getting higher paying work, starts with shifting your mindset a bit. You must reframe your value to yourself first, then to prospects and clients. I tell my coaching clients many times that the first person you have to sell is you. The first person you have to convince that you bring something different to the table, that you have great value to offer, that you're worth the fees you're charging, is you. If you haven't sold you, you're not going to be able to convince a prospect or a client that they need to pay you the fees that you're asking for. And the big takeaway here is that you need to shift your thinking and your positioning and your attitude from that of an order taker to that of a trusted advisor. Okay. So order taker is, we'll talk about this, but it's someone who's basically just, okay, what do you need? Yeah, you need that. Okay. I can do that for you. Trusted advisor is very different. It's a much more, you need critical faculties for that. Good critical faculties. You need to be able to ask good questions and so diagnose well and prescribe well. So in reframing is really about just exactly that. It's about seeing yourself a little differently, is reframing the value in what you bring to the table, the value you deliver, and how you talk about that value to clients and prospects. So let's talk a little bit more about this idea of order taker and trusted advisor. An order taker, again, it is exactly what it sounds. This is, I would say, what the majority of freelancers do these days. Basically, you expect prospects to tell you what they want. And once they do, then you quote them a fee and they either hire you or they don't. That model is similar to a fast food drive-through. You know, welcome to McDonald's, may I take your order? It's that kind of approach, that kind of attitude. Now, look, I don't mean to completely put down order taking situations. Very common to take orders from clients. That will probably never stop. I mean, you could be a trusted advisor, but you know, a client will contact you. Hey, listen, we actually need to shift gears a little bit. We need to work on, you know, these two projects. You know, can you help us with that? That's an order taking scenario. And overall, there's not much wrong with this. The challenge becomes when that is your only MO, when that's the only way you work, and when you become or you rest on your laurels and you wait for clients just to tell you what they want, or even new prospects. And it's all about the mindset you bring into the relationship. I think that's the biggest shift that I would really focus on here. The order taking mindset is, again, resting on your laurels, right? Passive, it's reactive. The trusted advisor mindset is proactive and it requires you to be much more strategic. So trusted advisors have a different relationship with their clients. They want to understand what the client is trying to achieve and they want to make a deeper contribution toward their goals. To shift into a trusted advisor role, you don't need to take over the conversation or be a prima donna. It's not about that at all. And it's not about taking an all or nothing approach to your client engagement. Again, you're going to find situations where even if you're seen as a trusted advisor, you will still take orders, if you will. So this is really about a lot of little things. And today I'm going to give you one example of something simple you can do if you don't already do this with every prospect or client. And here it is. Ask the client a bit more about what they're trying to accomplish and why that's important to them. So let's say they're coming to you and with a project that they need help with, and this could be an existing client or it could be a new prospect. And let's just say that it's a clearly defined ebook project. So they've already defined it. They know what they want. They know what format they want, and they want your help. But you know, that's all great. It's important, however, that you know why this ebook is so important to the client, where it fits inside their content strategy, and what they want to accomplish with this piece. And it sounds simple, right? But it's very easy to skip those types of questions and just kind of take down their order. And when you do that, you lower your perceived value. And that makes it harder to develop the kind of relationship where the client sees you as an indispensable resource. That can easily lead to clients who then start questioning your fees, or they get into discussions and questions about how long it took you to do the work, or, you know, because they're trying to figure out, well, wait a minute, how much time did you spend on this, right? So they have that hourly rate mentality, or they start shopping you around, or they cherry pick your retainer proposal, and that's not what you want. So it's about asking a different set of questions. So instead of, hey, why do you want to do this piece? Ask, what are you looking to accomplish with this piece? You know, it's going deeper into this. So it's not just asking the why, it's what are your goals? You know, where does this fit? And by the way, it's not about just asking one question. I'm just giving you some examples here. This is just a conversation starter. You want to ask follow-up questions, clarifying questions. You want to make comments showing that you understand. You should offer, whenever applicable or relevant, an idea or thought here and there as appropriate. And it's these types of thoughtful conversations that quickly elevate you to a higher plane of value and put you on the right path to a mutually beneficial client relationship. In fact, I'm going to explain this a little differently because it's important that you understand this thinking and philosophy at a deeper level. So here's the thing. The biggest value you offer clients is not the words that you write or the copy you create for them. Okay, those are important, of course, and that's kind of the final deliverable. Really, the biggest value is the quality of your thinking. The biggest value you bring to the table is the quality of your thinking. There are millions of writers out there. Competing on writing skill, frankly, is a losing proposition. So you need to compete on something different, something more unique. The quality of your thinking. You need to compete on the ideas you bring to the table, on how you help clients think differently and better about the projects that you're helping them with. And you have to basically compete on the things you can't teach someone overnight. So in my case, I'll give you an example. I've been out there for over 25 years in the workforce or on my own, in my own business. And that's 25 years of experiences, of unique scenarios, of blood, sweat, and tears, of books read, hundreds of books read, of working with dozens and dozens of clients, of having been employed in certain businesses and different roles. All that is stored in my mental database, all that experience. And that's the kind of thing you can't read in one book. It's not something you can take a training class for and have the same amount of experience and perspective that 25 years has brought me. Now, you need to believe this, okay? This is something you have to internalize. I can't do it for you. It has to come from within. And this kind of shift in thinking can take time. It took me a while to fully get it, okay? To fully understand that, so that's the biggest value that I bring. Yes, you have to be competent. You have to be good as a writer or a copywriter. There's no doubt about that. But after a certain threshold, really what's going to help you stand out, what's going to help you boost your fees, which is what we're talking about here, is the quality of your thinking and how you demonstrate that to your clients. So if it takes a while, and I expect that it will, because I know it took me a long time to just kind of really fully grasp and accept this kind of thinking, it's okay. Be easy on yourself and just give yourself some time. And I want you to just kind of continually think about this and it will click. You will be able to connect all the dots. Now, alongside this, your positioning is key. Okay. So it starts with your thinking, but then how you position that and how you message that is going to be very important. So if you're positioned yourself, and a good way to kind of figure out how you're positioning yourself is just to look at your website. What are you communicating? I can write anything for anyone. If that's kind of the core message there, you should know that that's a losing proposition. Okay. Those days are over. If you're just talking about your skill and all the services you provide, that's just not going to be enough. You need to be more specific. And I'll give you an example. Let's just take it outside of freelancing. If you have a teenage daughter and she's having a really hard time at school and with friends and just with life, and she needs to talk to someone, and you're looking for a therapist for her, and you came across someone who said, "Okay, I'm a family therapist, but I also work with men and women and seniors and teenagers." Okay, so that's option A. Option B is someone who says, I'm a therapist and I work only with teenage girls. That's my core specialty. So everything else being equal, I'll ask you, who would you choose, right? It's very obvious. Okay, so narrowing down the field is a really good idea. The four pillars of positioning are basically this. You need to be able to explain to yourself or understand internally and be able to explain to a prospect or a client what it is you do. So what services or value you offer. Whom can you best serve? And we'll talk more about that here in a minute because that creates a lot of confusion. So what target market, what audience? And I just gave you an example with this therapist. What makes you different from many other writers, copywriters, marketing consultants, whatever it is? Now, what makes you different doesn't mean what makes you unique. Doesn't have to mean that. Doesn't mean that you're the only one who has these qualities or these attributes or experience. It just means what makes you different from most. And then finally, why those differences would matter to your target audience. So what it is you do, whom can you best serve, what makes you different, and why those differences matter. Okay. So let's talk about the target audience, because I know that I'm not going to get too much into this, but a lot of people freak out and say, well, I don't have an industry, or I have a hard time picking an industry. Your target market does not have to be an industry. Okay. There are many different possibilities out there. And I want to kind of open up your mind, but you still need to be able to kind of narrow the field or describe whom you can best serve. So it could be a combination of industries. It could be, maybe there's three that, you know, when you really think about it, most of your best clients have fallen into one of these three: healthcare, financial services, and high tech. Yeah, that's okay. You know, those kind of go well together. It could be a broad category that could encompass several different industries. So for example, companies that sell complex products and services. Okay, so that could be your focus. I work with companies that sell complex products and services. Or it could be, let's say you describe them as mission-driven or heart-centered organizations. Okay, notice that's not an industry. It just describes the key attributes of your target audience. It could be a specific audience or role inside a business or inside an organization. So for example, CEOs and other executives who need someone to ghostwrite articles, blog posts, reports, and books for them. Okay, notice again, another example of, I'm not naming an industry, I'm talking about a specific audience or attributes of the audience. It could be the I know your customer focus, or I know your customer kind of angle. For example, let's say you've worked at several nonprofits for the past 12 plus years, and you now want to help companies that sell to nonprofits write copy and content. Or you used to be a school teacher or school principal, and you now want to write for e-learning companies that target school systems. Okay, so notice that, you know, I know your customer can be a really, really powerful way because you have insider knowledge and information. It could be the I have a talent focus. So for example, you write authority building content that enables your clients, and let's say they're business owners, to communicate more effectively in their own authentic voice. Or you're a skilled storyteller and you want to help companies that need to inject elements of story into their marketing to make it more engaging and persuasive. So these are just some examples of how, you know, your target audience in 80% of the cases will probably be an industry, but it doesn't have to be. And, you know, when I hear from someone who says, yeah, but I'm a generalist, you know, that's fine, but you still need to be able to define your sweet spot. Fine. You can write for a lot of different people. You like the variety. That's all good. But how would you define your sweet spot? How would you define it in a way that if I were kind of in that category, if I were someone that you would like to work with, if I read your copy in terms of whom you best serve, I would say, you know what, that's me. And don't tell me, well, I write anything for anybody, right? Because that's not going to make me feel like you could serve me. You got to give me a little bit more. Now, over time, your market could also morph into a combination of factors, by the way. It could morph into an industry or project or audience and project. You could focus on writing white papers, which is a project specialty, or maybe software companies. And you could combine these, right? So a specific industry and a specific project type, that's all good. So if you're there now or if it morphs into that, that's totally fine. Now, but before we wrap this up, I just want to make sure to address something that might be creeping up, and just to address that elephant in the room. And that is that, you know, as you're going through these sessions, maybe even already, you're starting to feel anxiety or fear. That is completely normal. Okay. I'm going to be asking you to basically get outside your comfort zone. All these fundamentals we're going to be talking about require courage. So when courage is required, it's common to feel the fear. It's common to be scared. Okay. My suggestion though is, you know, just do your best to feel the fear and move forward anyway. Fear will keep you from going after and landing higher paying clients. In fact, that's one of the biggest obstacles. It really is. It just is, you know, people come to me all the time and They want to get to a better place. They want better, higher paying clients, but fear is getting in the way. So you need courage. You know, look, if it were easy, everyone would do it. Every freelancer would be earning an amazing living. But that's not the case, right? Fear is a sign that there's growth to be had. I want you to remember that. Fear is a sign that there's growth ahead. There's a great quote out there. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. And it's so true. There's a great book out there by Ryan Holiday called Courage is Calling. Encourage you to read that if this is something that you feel is getting in your way. But either way, the important thing is to make a commitment to yourself that you won't keep making fear-based decisions. Being scared is okay. It's normal. Letting fear get in the way is not something you want, and that's something you can overcome. So one last little tip in terms of, how can you get over it? Put yourself in a position where you don't need the work. Okay. So the real value of getting and staying book solid is really the fact that you suddenly aren't fearful. You have instant courage now. So it's a bit of a hack. So if at a minimum, if you stay busy with a lot of work, next time an opportunity comes up, it'll be easier to muster the courage to raise your fees for this new prospect, as an example. Okay. So if anything else fails, that little hack will help you kind of get through and start implementing some things that normally you might be too scared to do.